Blog Talk Radio.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
All go running around and around and around, and now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk, is Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the sippy zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. Welcome to Tippy Talk. Once again, my name is Tippy Feldenstein, and today we have a very exciting guest, Nomi Bashar. Or Bakar, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, but we will get that straightened out. She is going to join us today, and she is a human potential expert. And she is a self-transformation and self-actualization coach. That sounds so exciting, because everybody wants to be actualized, and we all know that we cannot do that alone. She helps people release limiting thoughts and feelings while empowering them to realize their inner strength. And really, in order to be able to achieve your highest goals, you must realize your inner strength. So this is a really powerful teachings and a really powerful woman. For over 26 years, Nomi has been speaking, she's been coaching, and she's been leading life-changing workshops. And this is where she trains professionals around the globe. The most exciting thing of all is that she has created a very unique and a very result-driven method, and it's called Gates of Power. And that's what we're going to hear about today. And we're very excited to bring Nomi into our studio today. Welcome to Tippy Talk, Nomi, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are starting a brand new day.
Yeah, and a brand new life. It is kind of really nice that you have every day is like a rebirth, a new day. And I used to be a night owl. I used to love the night, and that means that I hated waking up in the morning early. And not too long ago, a few years ago, I discovered the beauty of the morning and the rebirthing, and waking up early is such a beautiful part of life that I've missed out for so many years. And do you know where I learned that?
Where?
From Helen Keller, a blind girl that described the morning. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
But we are, first of all, how do you pronounce your last name?
Baha. You Baha, should be okay. Able to say that, because you're...
I do. I know that you're pronouncing it Bahar, but I also know that that sound of the Bahar does not exist in the English language, and I know that a lot of people adjust that sound, like my first name, yes. Tippi. That sound doesn't exist. So a lot of people, when they come to, when they translate it to another language where that sound doesn't exist, they do the modification. So I wasn't sure if,
yeah,
you know, I'm
but
sure
the,
a lot
you
of
know,
people call
most
you...
people say Bahar. So they
oh,
do
with an
like
H.
An H, a soft H type of thing.
Right, right. So that's what I figured. It was either that or Bashar or Bachar. You know, people do their thing.
Bachar is not good.
No.
So let's say Bahar. Bahar.
Bahar is beautiful. I love the name Bahar. It's beautiful, and it also has a meaning behind it. But so thank you for clarifying that. I really appreciate it. And I've been looking over what you do, and I love that name that you have for your work. And I believe that that's really representative of what you actually do, is the gates of power. Mm-hmm. And that really means, to me, when I look at that, it means basically the path to self-empowerment, which people talk about a lot, but they don't really do it. Knowing is one thing and doing is another thing. And this sounds like it's result-driven, so that means it's doing.
Yes, yes.
So how did you get to that, to creating that? What started your journey?
I actually started as a young person as an actress. I went to Bet Tzvi, which is the School for the Performing Arts in Israel. And I was a performer. I performed on the best stages of Israel, and I was doing lead roles. And I was very happy being an actor. I got a grant to come to study with a very famous person in New York City. So from Keren Tarbut America Israel, which is, a grant for artists. And when I came here, I started the journey of being an actor in New York City, which is quite torturous, I have to say.
Yes,
it's not an easy task at all. And,
I know.
At some point, I was going through such a hard time that I had like a meltdown. And there was a lot inside of me that I didn't know was there. Being born and raised in Israel, I mean, the wars, my dad was a veteran. There was a lot of grief and fear.
Were you
loneliness.
In the army? Were you in the army?
I was in the army, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that's another very tough...
Very tough. Yeah. I was in a tough position in the army, right underneath the Golan Heights when the bombing was going on. And, I mean, I think that all of that buried material, buried feelings, it all came out at some point here in New York.
Mm.
Under the stress of living here and trying to make it, when you come from a place where you were doing lead roles, getting paid, salary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I started my own healing journey. I was around 30. And I became very, very interested in it. I saw that actually it's a very creative process, because you're creating your inner space, your inner realm.
Exactly, exactly.
And I became I fell in love with it. I still was performing and everything, and my therapist of then said to me, "Nomi, you're a born therapist," because he saw me in the group. I was in a group. And I said, "I'm an actor. What do you want? I don't want to be a therapist. That's just ridiculous. Don't even talk to me about that." And he kept saying, "You should go into the training." He had a center. Eventually, one night, that small voice was saying, mm-hmm. "He is right, and it's time to do it." and I was going like, oh God. You know, how would a performer, dancer, actor, you know, would want to sit in a chair and be a therapist? Why? You know? But, yes, I went into the training. My first training was primal therapy for 3 years. And then I proceeded to go and do psychodrama for 3 years, and Gestalt for 2 years, and bioenergetics for 2 years. So,
it actually does make sense. It does make sense because performers are artists, and artists are very sensitive. And in order to be any kind of a therapist, sensitivity is one of the ingredients that makes you priceless. So it really does make sense.
Yes, yes. But you know, the energy of a performer is that you're center stage. The energy of therapist is that you are listening. You're in the audience. And it was, but all these modalities are very expressive and experiential.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just talk. There's a lot of body, there's a lot of sound, there's a lot of feelings, there's a lot of cathartic, and so it's very artistic in a way and creative. And that's what happened. So while I had a dance theater in New York City here for 15 years, I've created that, I started my private practice. And because I was also a meditator and definitely a spiritual seeker since a very young age, I started working with people through meditation and creative avenues. And slowly I created new exercises, new processes. I would write them down. And in about 10 years into my practice, I looked at everything and I said, there is a method here. So in a way, it's coming through me, through my creative, you know, my creative skills. And slowly I've organized it. And Gates of Power method is spiritual, is creative. We work with the emotions, so it's emotive. We work with the energetic, the body and the energetic field. And we work very much through actions. We have something that's called the vision map, where we write down the vision in each one of the gates, the visions, the misalignments, the commitments, and the actions. And we become extremely accountable.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're talking about mind, body, and soul. You're not talking about just one dimension almost. It's the body one, the mind and the spirit. But I have to take you back to something really powerful that you kind of skipped over, because I know what it's like to try to be an actor in New York. I was never really in that field, but I did take a lot of acting classes to get rid of my shyness. I was very, very shy. I still am, but nobody knows it now. But I took a lot of acting classes. I met a lot of struggling actors that were from New York or that came in, and they were having a lot of problems. What kind of problems were you experiencing, other than the fact that you didn't have center stage the way you had it in Israel?
Well, first of all, the accent. So in Israel, I was what you call a leading lady. I did Chekhov, I did Shakespeare, I did everything.
In Hebrew?
In Hebrew, obviously.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
I was signed a contract in the Kamari, Abima, Haifa, all the big theaters.
Wow,
And I did everything. Now, here I was typecast exotic /
foreigner
character actress. So my agent had a real hard time selling me.
Right. You know? Because it's a very specific category.
It's a very specific. It's so specific that it's too specific. So so that was difficult. So you end up auditioning a lot, but not really performing that much. So what do you have to do? You have to do millions of other things, like
survive.
A bartending, which is
right.
a nightmare.
Right.
You know, I was teaching Hebrew and Jewish studies, which is less of a nightmare because I love the kids and I worked with them through creative stuff. So that was good. That was not too bad. But, you know, there are times that you have to hang coats and be a hostess and wait on tables. It's tough.
It's tough for someone who has already tasted the way things should be, that has to go back and start over as a teenager.
Yes,
That's what's tough about it. I totally understand it, because when I came to this country, I went from being the most popular kid in class in fifth grade into being the person that was deaf and dumb and nobody wanted to talk to because nobody could talk to me. So that
right.
was tough. Yeah, that was very tough. So that makes a lot of sense. But I believe that everything happens for a reason, and your two choices were either go back to Israel or going to something where your heart was probably at. That probably was your journey, but you didn't even know it.
I didn't know. I didn't know that. Right. You see, my dad, when I went to acting, my dad said, I'm not paying. I'm not raising gypsies in the house. And he didn't talk to me for three years. He didn't talk
wow.
to me. Then I became famous overnight, and then he became to me, and he became one of my best, most my admirer. He would come to every
show. Biggest fan.
biggest fan. Then I said, Dad, I'm going to psychology. And he said, What? And originally he wanted me to go to psychology. He said, you should become a PhD, you know. And I said, Dad, I'm going to psychology. He was going like, you're abandoning your talent. What are you talking about? He said, Dad, come on. There's no winning with you. But I really actually, he was very sweet, very supportive, actually. Because I did both. I had a dance theater, and I had a private practice. You know, dance theater doesn't give you any money, you know, much.
Yeah, it's theater, and it, usually those theaters are very off Broadway, you know, unless you get onto Broadway. And even Broadway, I don't think it's so much of a moneymaker as our movies and television.
Well,
so,
you know, we were a cutting-edge performance art, so that's you live on grants.
Yeah.
It's very cutting edge, multimedia performance art. Amazing. We had an amazing thing. But anyway, you know, I feel
so
that I've fulfilled myself as a performer.
Right.
Because I directed and I choreographed and I produced and I performed and I danced and I everything.
And I guess that part of you will always be, you will always be a performer on some level. So so what kind of training did you get when you wanted to become a therapist now?
Primal therapy, 3 years. Primal therapy is what is used to be called scream therapy. It's very deep regressions.
Scream? Like to scream?
Yeah, it's called scream therapy. Yeah, it's by Janov. He created it. It's very
primal.
Regress to a pre-verbal state. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's very deep cathartic type of psychotherapy. Then I did 2 years of Gestalt, which is a wonderful system. I did.
Where did you do it at? Is that a, is
here,
that a private?
Here. I was
no,
here.
No. Is that a private Gestalt,
yeah,
or is that
called,
a regular university?
The primal was in the Primal Center, where I actually was in therapy there, and that's when my therapist said to me, you got to go into into the training. Gestalt, in the Gestalt, in Elaine Waldman Gestalt training, the psychodrama was, it was called the sociotherapy, the Center for Sociotherapy or something like that. It was so long ago now. We're talking about 30 somewhat years.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, for and bioenergetics with the Bioenergetics Institute. So all these trainings are, they're either 2 years or 3 years, and they're fabulous. I mean, I chose that. I didn't want to go and do like a PhD, like a book learning. I wanted
If you would have gone to the university route, you would not have had the intense training because you would have had to take a lot of schooling and waste so much money and so much time on classes that are so irrelevant.
I wanted to do, and these trainings are very like hands-on. Of course, you read. There's always books that you have to read, and you have to do 100 hours of personal therapy while you're training, which means I have a lot of therapy on my back.
yes.
Which is all
I like the way you put that.
It's all good. It's all good. But Gates of Power is actually inspired somewhat by these methods, but it's a whole new animal.
Yeah, so it's basically what you did is you took everything that you learned, you made it your own, and then you create your creative forces stepped in and said, okay, we can do something more with that, and that's how Gates of Power came into being.
Yes, because I wanted the spiritual part, which was not there. I wanted the creative part, because in Gates of Power, we move, we draw, we write, we make sounds, we create music, you know. So I wanted that, and I wanted the action part, which is the coaching, like what people call coaching here.
And what you call, how did you put it? I really like that. You call the action-oriented.
Very action-oriented. We have commitments, we have actions, and we become very accountable to it because we have everybody create...
Result-driven, that's what it is,
result, very result-driven, but also very much emotional, energetic process oriented.
So what is it? What if you had to define the Gates of Power, what is the Gates of Power?
I can explain it this way. You have, everybody has, if we can imagine our life as a garden, in the center of the garden, there is that light, the light of the soul. And that light spreads through the garden and nourishes the garden, and it moves and expresses itself through seven gates. So if you can imagine around the garden seven openings. So the first opening, the first gate, is the gate of the body.
So one second, before you go into the openings, I just want to clarify. So you're saying it's like a garden. And in the center, there's a light which represents your soul. That's the light that shines you. But around you, there's seven flowers or seven gates. What are those? So there's your soul in the middle.
No, if you imagine a garden and there are openings, like gates, like doors, like big doors.
Oh, gates. To enter and exit the garden, you mean?
To enter and exit.
Okay,
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So the light of the soul moves through those openings out
to
express in the world, and the light of the world goes in through the gates.
So outside of the gates is like outside of our inner world.
Outside, the outside, the inside are not that defined. because we're one with everything. But if you can imagine that you have ways of expressing yourself, you have portals of expression, and the gates are the portals of expression of your soul.
Different kind of expressions or different ways of expressing?
When I tell you the gates, you will understand.
Okay.
So there is the gate of the body, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, your soul expresses itself through the body.
Right?
And
yes.
If there is stress or blockages in the soul, the body shows it.
Right.
Yes. So that gate needs to be clear. The second gate is the gate of emotions. Of course, your soul speaks through emotions.
Right.
And you want that gate to be open, not blocked. The third gate is the gate of dialogue, how you are relating to yourself and others. It's the gate of relationship. The fourth gate is the gate of creative expression. We're all expressive and we're all creative, and that is the gate of fun, and everybody wants that gate to be open.
Yes, we all want to have fun.
We want to have fun. We want to be expressive and creative, and we should.
I do.
The next gate, the gate of life path. This is a very important gate, is the gate of purpose, of life mission and contribution, and life most important lessons that you have to learn. The gate of life path. And the next gate is the gate of silence, prayer, and meditation. And the last gate is the gate of knowledge. Knowledge of life, knowledge of anything. So those seven openings or gates are areas of life, and they all need to be open, and with most people, there are three or four of them that are partially blocked. Okay? But this is
a big not
story.
All them.
Yeah, they're blocked. They're not open.
Yeah. No.
And
no,
now I
want to
go
activity.
Back. Mm-hmm. Right? You agree with me. I mean, you can meet somebody and you could see the gate of the body is you could see the energy is blocked, or you can see that they don't know how to relate. The gate of dialogue is blocked.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has some kind of blockages somewhere.
Some kind
of blockages
in one or two or three of the gates.
Or four or five or six or seven.
Right, exactly. Now, I want to go back to that light of the soul in the middle of the garden. There are three colors inside of this light. One is fuchsia, for your emotional self. The other one is blue, for your survival defensive self. And the third one is gold, for your expanded self. Now, what is your expanded self? Your expanded self is your highest wisdom, your highest intuition, and your spiritual understanding. And everybody has an expanded self. Now, when you are open and clear, your expanded self is the dominant color. And all three colors are working together in unity and in balance.
Which color
That's
is
ideal.
Which color is the expanded self?
Gold.
Oh, okay,
gold.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Gold. Now, what happens to most of us, because we're human beings and we live in this plane, which is the plane of suffering, we get hurt. And we get hurt in the emotional self. And then the survival defensive self, the blue color, comes up very strong to protect and becomes overprotective, overdefensive, and takes control over that light. And now we have a lot of blue, dark blue on the light. So the light is dim.
So what does it say about me if the color that attracts me the most is blue? That I can't walk away from
it. I think you're thinking about it differently. There is blue is the sky. The sky is blue, so it's a very beautiful color.
No, of course it's a beautiful color, but if it's like the only color that seems to, like, like when you become obsessed with a color and you can't walk away from it anywhere you see it, like whether it's the sky or the clothes or some kind of a gadget or anything, the color is like so amazingly attractive, more than any other color.
Because it's the beautiful side of the blue that attracts you.
See.
Now, if you think about murky, dark blue, okay, almost grayish dark.
Right, like,
you don't want that. Yeah, that one. That one is, that's what happens when our defensive self takes control. You know? And because the light is now dim, the gate, the energy in the garden starts to wither, you know,
right.
And the gates begin to get weeds and mud on them, and energy is not moving.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Right.
And so what we do in Gates of Power method, we work a lot with those three aspects of the self, the emotional self, the defensive self, and the expanded self. We work to balance them under the leadership and the guidance of the expanded self. We work through inner dialogues. Because you want your expanded self to be the leader, and you want to teach the expanded self to coach and heal the two other ones.
Right. That makes sense. So what you're saying
is, and it's hard work, believe me. It's hard work.
So, yeah, so you're saying that the process that you teach is of doing that, of clearing
doing
up
that,
the gates. Mm-hmm.
First of all, clearing the gates. And clearing, and the gates usually are blocked because something is happening in that light, in that center being of us.
What do you mean something is happening?
Something is happening most of the time is a dominance of defensive survival self. Because of unresolved hurts, because of things that we have not dealt with, our defensive self. I mean, you know, as a child, I'll give myself as an example. I didn't feel I mattered because there was too much in my family. They were too busy with their drama.
Survival.
I didn't feel I mattered. So that was very painful. So my defensive self took over and said, let's excel. So if we excel, we are going to be noticed. And that's what I did. I became a chronic exceller. You know?
Yeah.
That was my defensive self trying to do her best to give me a sense of security, right?
Right, to make me
feel better about myself, yes?
Right,
so
right.
That excelling is not so great. I mean, it's good to want to do good job.
Yeah, it's better than doing drugs to get away from feeling that way. But, yeah, but it's still not
yeah,
healthy.
Yeah, but it becomes a lot of effort. It becomes, it doesn't really heal the wound in the emotional, It just right. creates a compensation. And then you have to excel in everything and every second, and you have to be perfect. And that's not
it's
healthy.
It's hard, yeah.
It's not
hard.
Healthy, right? I had to work to release that. But what I'm saying is some people become excellers. Some people become manipulators, controllers. Mm-hmm. Some people become isolators. Some people become attackers, abusers.
Right, everybody deals with
everybody
it in a different way.
Everybody's different and creates a different defensive self. But that defensive self, that murky blue color, not the color that you like, the grayish, murky
yeah.
one,
right.
becomes dominant. And the soul then shrinks. The light of the soul shrinks because it's what is called in psychology the false self.
Mm-hmm.
You're living in a shell. You're living in an armor. You're living in
right.
compensation, not in authenticity.
Right.
Do you see? And yeah. that creates the gates to become cruddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because your life force chokes
mm-hmm.
right. in that constellation. So the first thing that we have to do is recognize our aspects, recognize our defensive, our emotional, and our expanded, and
mm-hmm.
begin to do an inner dialogue. There's a lot of work that goes into strengthening the expanded self through meditation,
mm-hmm.
through spiritual study, and giving that part of us, the expanded, tools to heal the emotional and relax the defensive so that you can recreate harmony.
Is it a complicated process or it's...
It's a pretty difficult, because imagine yourself being very attached to your defensive ways because they worked for you, supposedly. Right?
And they serve a purpose, too. Yeah.
Like, for some people being aggressive and domineering, it works for them. They are able to...
They got what they wanted.
Exactly. And it's like, why would they want to give this up? This is working
exactly.
for me. But meanwhile, their soul is withering underneath
right.
this big armor. But...
Mm.
But there is such seduction to that.
Why?
Because we feel strong. It's very old. It starts, our defensive starts formulating around the age of 5.
So it's been there almost like, it feels like it's you, actually.
It feels like it's you. You think it's you. And it gave you a sense of strength.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to you think that this is your strength,
right? But it's also painful.
It's also painful, but we rather be strong and tortured than be vulnerable and move through this process of creating our expanded self to be our strength.
Right.
Well, that's real strength, right? You know, our wisdom, our intuition, our spiritual understanding, that's our true power.
True self, right.
And true self, and actually true power. But
yeah.
we have to let go of that protective coat that we got very attached to. And we love it, and we're very, I don't know if we love it, but we're very attached to it.
Well,
and for
a
minute.
We think we love it. Yeah.
We think we love it. But, we cling to it very, very much. And for a minute, we have to be naked without it, or we feel like, what's going to happen to me, you know, without it.
Yeah,
so you
I'm
have
to die, actually. It feels like it feels to me like it might be a feel like a death of something.
Exactly. It does feel like that. You have to walk a bridge, a shaky bridge of feeling very vulnerable until you become situated more and more in your expanded self. And that self can coach you and guide you and heal you, and you can be supported by that. It takes, it's a very sensitive time.
Wow, that's so beautiful. So beautiful, because basically what you're saying is, and this is what I'm understanding, is that you strip away who you kind of are, or you think you are,
right?
You, so that you can become who you truly are.
Yes. And
yeah.
You know how hard that is. It's hard.
Uh-oh.
But I have created good tools. Good tools and good processes to help people. And because you need to have something that could guide you how to do that.
Well, I know what the struggle feels like. I don't know. I guess instinctively, maybe I've done it, but not in a conscious, direct, system like you have. So having a conscious direct system and knowing that if you follow that system, you're going to get specific known results happens to be beyond the power of really knowing the blocks or the limitations or the what did you call it, the mud, the thing that makes it murky. Knowing that is one thing, and that I'm very good at. I know all my faults, and I know a lot of people get to that point where they know everything that's wrong with them, put it this way, and then they're stuck in that. And if you get stuck in that, and that could be very depressing. Like, okay, I'm really screwed up. So now what?
Know, I get people who come to me after 15 years of therapy, 17 years of, and they're going like, we're going nowhere. They know everything about everything.
Right,
but
exactly.
They haven't moved, you know. And in 2-3 months, they're bam somewhere else. Sometimes when I sit down with somebody, in the first hour, they would identify what is happening to them, because I show them, okay, emotional, what's going on here, defensive, what's going. They see the map of what's going on inside the three aspects. And they see the map of each gate and exactly where the blockage is and what's going on. And so they get a map on the first session. And they go, oh, my God, why didn't anybody tell me that?
Right. Sometimes
and then
I
if
think
they
that's
decide,
the...
you know, yeah, they decide to stay, they start the clearing, they start, you know, the... It's, as I said, it's very action-based, very process exercise. We don't just sit there and talk about things.
Sometimes it feels like the therapists are almost with a method of keeping you there. Because if you heal, then that's it.
Yeah.
They don't make any more money off you. So they kind of show you all the the things that you cannot do and all your limitations, but then there's no way out, because they'll just sit there and go,
Right.
But how is they going to help me?
I know. When somebody comes to me, I say to them, okay, you're going to become absolutely responsible for your life. You are not going to depend on me. You're going to do all your homework, and you're going to stand on your own 2 feet.
That's scary.
And I say, I'm going to give you everything that you need, but this is what I expect from you, to stand on your own 2 feet and work your life. You got to be the artist, the creator, of your life, and you're going to take 100% responsibility. You know.
Right.
So I tell them immediately, and I say, I will love you. I would, you know, I'm very loving, caring, but I'm a tough coach. You don't just sit here like a lump.
Right. Exactly. Which is the comfort zone that you don't want to get out of. But
you
if you don't push people out of it, then you're not really doing them any favors, are you?
Right. So they know that from the beginning.
So it sounds like you're really the answer to the people that have been in therapy for years and come to the realization that, okay, if I stay in my therapy for years, then that's where I'm going to stay forever.
That's right. And
I know
a lot
of people like that. that's been in therapy
for
years.
For me, it's just the opposite. I want to see strong, empowered people, leaders. I want to see that. We actually have a group of all the people who are, you know, done all the. There are 7 levels of Gates of Power.
Mm-hmm.
We have what we call the leaders table. We meet once a month. All the people that have become leaders in their life, and it's fantastic to see. And when somebody starts, I say, I want you to end in our leading table. I want you to join. You know, this is what you need to look forward to. Become a leader of your life.
Right. Not to be forever the victim and the patient and poor me that has all these problems and there's no way I'm ever getting out of it. That's like amazing because there aren't that many programs. Even if you go to someone who's really famous, like Anthony Robbins, and his programs have a certain amount of success, obviously, still, he keeps people coming back and he keeps them dependent on him to a small or a big degree. You really can never go on your own.
I am not really sure that he goes into the depth that we go into.
I'm not sure. We go very deep,
you know, into the healing of the emotional self. You know, we do go deep. We go into the root causes of things. I mean, it's very hard for him to do that because there's 5,000 people there, you know. So it's like
Do you do group sessions or you do one-on-one?
All the Gates of Power levels can be studied one-on-one, but I always recommend to do it in the group because we have the groups. The groups are not ever more than a certain amount of people because I want to know each person. I want each person to get personalized in, you know, attention and so on and so forth. So it is done in groups. Level 1 is a weekend, level 2 is a weekend, level 3 is a weekend, levels 4 and 5 are 3 months, and you get the individual, you get the buddy sessions, and you get the group session, and so on and so forth.
When you say it's a weekend, What does a weekend mean? Does it mean you go away somewhere to a retreat?
Saturday. Yeah. I have a big loft in Peekskill, and we do the weekends there.
What's Peekskill?
Peekskill is a little artsy town by the Hudson River.
Nice.
About 55 minutes from New York on the Metro North.
Nice.
And the weekend is Saturday. We start at 10 o'clock and we end at 7. And Sunday we start at 6 o'clock and we end at 7. So it's about 4, you know, altogether, 16 hours. We break for lunch and we make lunch together and all of that. But it's an intensive, and that's a level 1. Level 1 is like that. Level 2 is like that. And level 3 is like that, long weekend. And then, you know, levels 4 and 5, the structure is different. But some people are not ready for that, so they work with me individually for a little bit. I still work through the program with them. And then as soon as I can get them to join a group, I say, come on, you're ready. There
Let's
is
do it.
A different experience with a group. You learn from other people.
Yes,
and
definitely.
You cry together, you scream together, you dance together, you do healings together. It's fantastic.
Yes, it is. It's different. It there's a purpose for doing it individually, and there's a different purpose for doing it in groups. But but what you're saying is that experiencing both is really what you try to do, is to try to have them experience both eventually. Right?
Yes, yes.
So that sounds like a really fun and painful experience, but definitely you're not going to walk away the same person.
No, no. No, and you know what? No matter how painful it is, we have a lot of fun because we're so creative, you know, in terms of moving and writing and sounding, and that we laugh a lot too.
Right.
We laugh a lot. We meditate a lot. Meditation is a very strong component in my training, and we do energy healing. We learn how to do energy healing with each other. It's just fabulous. No matter how.
I hear that term a lot. Energy healing. What do you mean by energy healing?
We are energy. The whole universe is energy.
Right. Everything is made out of energy.
Everything is energy. Okay. So when the emotions and the thoughts get all knotted, the energy in the body gets all knotted, right? Sometimes when somebody needs to release and they're crying and somebody else knows, and I tell them where to touch very lightly, so to help that energy release.
The painful energy can kind of be
released. The painful energy can move through and release itself.
Right, and just move on.
So we help each other that way.
That makes sense. Now I understand. So energy healing that you talk about is not waving your hand over someone and pulling out their energy.
Even though that sometimes we do, we help do clearing. Yeah, sometimes we do that. But it's more, you need to know what you're doing, you know, to be able to do that. I can do that because I've done that for years. But for them, to help each other, I just say use your hands and concentrate and send love and help them by touching them very gently and lovingly, help them cry it out or release it out.
Right. So, yeah, I'm getting exhausted just thinking about it, so I can't even imagine.
No, I'm telling you, we have a lot of fun in all of that. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think that's the bottom line. If you have fun, then anything is possible. If you're too serious, then you're going to break down and walk away from it.
Yes.
And maybe that's what makes it possible to actually walk through all the 7 gates.
Yes, yes. We do all the 7 gates in every level.
Yeah, so it sounds really inviting to me, and it sounds really like a journey that I believe everybody should really take at one point in their life when they're ready to take it.
I think so,
So I would say if you're ready to go for that adventure, a weekend sounds like a really great way to get away from New York, the stresses and the hassles of New York City, which is a very tough place to be.
I know.
And in the last 5 minutes that we have, do you have anywhere, if somebody is interested, where to go?
Yes. First of all, gatesofpower.com is the website. Also, if somebody is interested in inviting me to speak, nomispeaks.com. The number for us for the office is 212-877-0346. Somebody will always respond to your call. You can also email us through the gatesofpower.com. There is a way to email us if you want to do that. I would say come and experience me doing a healing at the Awakened Fair, Tarrytown, on the 26th of March. I'm going to do soul alignment, little snippets of healing, and I will speak.
What time will you speak?
11:30, Master the Optimal You.
Awesome.
So
come and hear.
Yeah, come and listen.
I will post all the links to that right down here where you're listening on the a description. I will post all the links to all the websites that you just mentioned. So if anybody wants to, all they have to do is go to the description and link. I know people these days are very lazy to remember and to actually type out a name. So I will put the links for you.
Okay.
And if you're interested, of course, you can always make a phone call. It depends what you like better. Make a phone call, visit the website.
Or email.
Or the Tarrytown email. Yeah, all those links.
Also, Gates of Power, Actualize Your True Self, the book, is on Amazon. And it will give you a wonderful explanation about all the gates, about the aspects of the self. It will give you case studies, stories of people in their own words. It's a wonderful book. People tell me that they keep it by their bed. So reach out, get the book. It's also, you can download it. If you're not really reading regular books, you can download it into your
Kindle. As an e-book? Yeah.
It's an e-book. It could be downloaded as an e-book. So a lot of knowledge right there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you feel the calling and this is for you and you're ready to actually really transform yourself and really do the work, not just listen, then this is sounds like a great opportunity for you. And so with the last minute that we have left, what would be your last thought that you would like to tell people?
I would say to people, you are here to create yourself into the highest, most beautiful version of yourself. Do not waste your time. Do not waste your life. Go ahead and do
that's
that.
That's beautiful. Yes, and with that beautiful thought, I would like to invite everybody to not only check it out, but come and let me know what you think about it, what your opinion. Maybe you have questions. So all you have to do is follow us right here on Tippy Talk, and you will get the updates, the information of what's coming up next. You can also leave comments, and you can actually be the driving force that drives our next meeting, our next discussion here. And so I'd like to really thank you, Nomi Baha, for showing up and for doing amazing work, for helping change this planet one person at a time. That's what I call the light workers of this planet that are actually dedicated to making life better and easier and more powerful. Like you said, bring out the powerful you that you can actually be.
And so, I want to thank you, Tippi, because you are so easy to talk with. You so get it. And it's just lovely, lovely to share with you.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And for that, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us here. We've come to the end of our time together here on Tippi Talk. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put on shamanic music for you so that you can sit back and think about what life could be like if you go through all the gates of power. Think about all those amazing things that you want to do and that you can do and that you might actually be able to do once you're free and once you pass through those gates and reach to a point where it could flow a little bit easier. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Have a magical journey. And thank you again, Nomi, so much for joining us.
Thank you.